I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. Later in the show, we'll be talking with some of the organizers and a few of the musicians involved in a program presented by Lutheran Social Services of Illinois called United in Song for All God's Children. It's happening Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Matthew Lutheran Church on South Philo Road in Urbana. And we'll have a bit of a live musical preview for that nicely varied program on that concert. First up, though, we'll be hearing from some of the actors in Parkland Theater's current production, which opens on the 26th and runs through November the 6th. It's a comedy by Sarah Rule called Dead Man's Cell Phone. And we have director Tom Schnari and his colleagues with us for a live preview there as well. It's live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned.
So we'll probably do YouTube scene and then YouTube.
That was a sonata by Georg Philipp Telemann for oboe in A minor and performed by oboist Paul Goodwin. It's one of the pieces. Actually, I'm not positive that is the very piece, but it may well be the very piece because Telemann wrote a bunch of so many sonatas, and including others in A minor, that will be performed along with lots of other music on a concert Sunday afternoon at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana called United in Song for All God's Children. It's a benefit for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. And in the second part of our show today on Live and Local, we'll be hearing some of the performers involved in that production. But first, it's Parkland Theater's production of a play with the intriguing title of Dead Man's Cell Phone. It is, as you would expect, a comedy, mostly, and it opens on the 26th. Performances on the 26th, 28th, and 29th, and then the following weekend, November 3rd through 6th. And with us on the show today are the director of the show, Tom Schnari, and he's brought along three of his actors, Aaron Clark, Maren Brooker, and Ellen Fred, all of whom are with us live to give us a bit of a preview. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So, Tom, did you pick this play?
Yeah, this has actually been kind of a labor of love for me. I found it about 3 years ago. It's written by Sarah Rule, and last year the station did Eurydice, which is one of her other works. And I just kind of fell in love with it because it's kind of this dark comedy and has evolved into a comedy ghost story. And I've just been trying to get it done. And originally we couldn't get the rights, and then it didn't fit with last year's season. So I'm really excited that we're able to do it this year.
So when you reference the station, that's, of course, the Station Theater in
yes.
Urbana, which does a lot of offbeat shows, as does Parkland Theater. And both companies always do a really good job of everything I've managed to see. And so what drew you to this show? I remember reading a book of... I guess it was a comic novel by Sarah Rule, although I have to admit I can't remember the title, but that's common with books that I read. I don't remember that. But I do remember it was kind of funny.
Yeah, she's very funny. She's very absurdist. She does magical realism, so she puts in supernatural elements with very real-life situations and just commonplace occurrences go into sort of wackiness. And so... It's my vein of humor. There's a little bit of darkness to it, but ultimately it's very funny. And she also does a real female perspective on things, which is kind of refreshing when you get in playwriting. There's a lot of male perspectives on death and love and that sort of thing. And she does it from a very much a woman's point of view. And I found that very engaging. And it gives you a lot of possibilities to work with it. Plus, she's really collaborative with the productions, allowing them to compose. There's a moment called the Cell Phone Ballet that's unique to each production, and she gives you guidelines but you're actually to pull cell phone calls from your own life. So we have actors gave me cell phone snippets. I had some from a writing journal that I have. I have a friend from San Francisco and a friend from London that gave me them. So it's a very unique piece that comes just from our play that will be different when you see it with another production of the show.
Does this have anything to do with cell phone ringtones?
It has to do with the remnant of technology and how everything has a ghost, including that. So everything floats and doesn't go away. So snippets of your conversations are out in the stratosphere.
So the mundane occurrence that sets this whole thing off is that a guy dies.
Yes. So,
people do die.
Right? Yes.
And that's about it.
There's a woman that's sitting in a coffee shop. The guy next to her has an annoying cell phone ring. He won't shut it off. She answers the phone for him and then realizes he's dead. And for some reason, Ellen Fred as Jean decides to tell the people on the other end that she was talking to him. And she has a message from the dead guy. And that's the fun ensues.
And is that a setup for our first scene? You look like you're ready to go.
Sort of. The setup for the first scene is our dead man, which is Gordon, played by Aaron Clark, has a wife. Her name is Hermia, played by Maren Brucker. And the wife wants to know what's going on with this woman who has her husband's cell phone and why she would have it. So this is an encounter they have about the phone.
Give that to me. Oops, missed the call. Is this picture of the Pope still on it? From a business trip to Rome. Those mobs at the Vatican waving their cell phones, stealing an image of the Pope's dead face and Gordon among them. I can still hear him laughing. I have the Pope in my pocket. There it is. Dead Pope. I feel sick. I'm going to bury it like the Egyptians.
No!
Yes! In the ground with Gordon. You know, there was this Belgian man very recently in the news, and the undertakers forgot to remove the cell phone from the coffin, and it rang during the funeral. Just went on ringing. And the family is suing for negligence, Jean. For negligence. And you have to bury it, see? To bury it. Very deep, so you cannot hear the sound. Are you ever in a very quiet room, all alone, and you feel as though you can hear a cell phone ringing, and you look everywhere, and you cannot see one, but there are so many ringing in the world that there must be some dim echo. Nothing is really silent anymore. And after a death, an almost silence. You have to bury it. Bury it very deep.
I'm sorry, Hermia, but I can't let you do that. Gordon wanted me to have his phone.
End scene.
So I was reading in a, well, first, I should say for those just tuning in, wondering what on earth is going on. That was a short scene from, or part of a scene from, Dead Man's Cell Phone, a play by Sarah Rule that Parkland Theater is putting on starting the 26th, which is this week, and runs through November the 6th. Tom Schnari, the director, is with us, and then that scene involving Ellen Fred in the role of Jean and Maren Brucker in the role of the dead man's wife. And I assume that she's not taking it well, or does she just not take life well?
She's drunk.
Yeah, well, I figured that out. What I'm getting at. Oh, she's drunk a lot. Is that the thing?
Yeah.
So she doesn't take life well. In other words,
no.
Overall,
no.
Yeah. So I was reading a review of this play in the New York Times, also one in the Washington Post. And, you know, they talk about the various motivations and really don't have an answer to, as reviewers can't necessarily have an answer to, why does Jean care? You know, why are you doing this, Ellen?
Well, I feel like Jean is very into fixing things. She wants people to be happy. She wants, you know, a good atmosphere around her. And she's gone through some things in her past that influence this. And so she just sees this dead man as an opportunity to, you know, influence some people's lives for the positive.
And I assume that somewhere in the course of the play, we find out what some of those things in your past are.
Yes.
Because inevitably, I think if you try to take too much care of somebody else, then there's something you're not taking care of in yourself.
Correct.
So the little bit of regular psychology going on in this play, sounds like, Tom. But then it gets a little not so normal.
There's a lot of psychology. What's funny about her, Sarah Rill's work, is that with the humor comes some depth and the idea of dealing with mortality, dealing with mistakes. And one of the things that we're looking at is when you die, what is resolved, and the relationships that are good when you're gone, and the things that aren't resolved. And that's sort of what all the characters are caught in, is what is left done and undone when a person dies.
And how much does one ever know the person you think you thought you knew?
Yes, and that's a lot of it, because pretty much Gene is making it up as it goes along, and all of his surviving relatives and coworkers are like, absolutely, that's exactly what he would say. And he hasn't said any of it.
And she's, because she doesn't know him at all, other than what she's finding out from these various people that she's decided to.
Indeed.
In whose life she's ready to fill it.
Sort of like an adult game of Candyland.
Yeah, it's been so long since I played Candyland. I don't even remember what that's like.
Well, our set is sort of a game board based on Mondrian paintings. And then we have a bunch of Edward Hopper influences that are called for in the script that are going to be lighting and also projections. So we're going to have a really artistic and representational stage. But the characters are on a game board, and the living stay within the cubes and the dead don't. So,
well, I think you may have just sort of hinted a little bit at my next question, which is if the play starts with a dead guy, you've brought the dead guy here. into our studio, and he has a script on his lap.
Indeed.
So he must have something to do.
In Sarah Rule's world, dead isn't dead. And so that sort of segues into our next scene, if you want to do that. Due to some circumstances, Gene runs into the dead Gordon in sort of a middle ground area.
Some circumstances?
Yes. And I can't get any more specific than that, or I'll spoil the surprise. But living and dead interact a lot within this play. And so suddenly, Gordon and Jean are confronting each other, and Gordon thinks she has some explaining to do.
You and I, we're alike. We both told lies to help other people. You decided to help a dead man because only a dead man can be 100% good. When you're alive, the goodness rubs off in you if you so much as leave the house. Life is essentially a very large Brillo pad. But I digress. The point is, Gene, we're two peas in the proverbial pod. Incoming calls, outgoing organs. We're all just floating receptacles waiting to be filled with meaning, which you and I provide. It's a talent, and I admire you.
No, we're not alike. You made people into parts, into things. Don't you feel bad about that?
I feel done with it. That's all. Money and organs and trade. Up here, it's all just roadkill of the mind. I'm done with organs. I didn't even donate mine. They're all intact. I never signed that little thingy on my driver's license. Felt like a suicide note to sign it. And now...
You don't need them.
Nope.
Take them out.
What?
Take them out. Put them on a cloud and just lower them into South America for all of the sad people who sold their own.
Would that make you feel better, Gene? Would it?
Yes, I think it would.
All right, Gene. Oh, I can't get it out, Gene. I can't get it out. Oh, I've almost got it out, Gene. I can feel it coming out. Help me get it out. Ah, oh, it won't come out. The skin's too tough. Oh, couldn't do it.
Oh, God. How did I end up in your pipeline? I love Dwight. didn't I? I don't even know you.
You love me because I'm charismatic. I'm more charismatic than Dwight. Even dead, apparently. I spent about 2 seconds feeling guilty about that when I was a child, and then I just went on being me. Sorry, Jean. You have to be very careful who you fall in love with. And where? A nondescript cafe for all time? Couldn't you have chosen better wall hangings? Or better weather? An overcast day for all time.
I liked it better when you couldn't talk. Could you just not talk? Could you just pretend to be dead again just for a moment?
Whatever turns you on, Jean.
Right, so they're reacting to some reaction that I'm having. Physically speaking, actually, I'm reacting a little bit to Aaron Clark, who I haven't seen in years. It seems
years.
Like Aaron, if you go to Parkland Theater with any regularity, you'll see they always have wonderful photos up from all of their productions. Well, not from all of them; they change the pictures every once in a while. But Aaron is in a lot of them because Aaron used to be quite regularly in Parkland shows and Champaign-Urbana Theater Company shows and probably Station Theater mm-hmm. shows and. He shows up in our lobby here, and I said, oh, where did you come from? It's been a while. So you've been off studying theater.
Yep. I just spent the last few years down at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale getting my BA in actually theater and hoping to continue on with my education eventually with that down the line.
So the shows that I saw you in, usually you were playing some sort of angry guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Gordon's not very angry at all. He's actually rather chilled once up where he's at. He's quite content of where he's at.
Yeah, you're smiling a little bit more than your characters often would, but you've still got that intensity.
Oh, thank you.
It seems like that, you know, inevitably characters have. So welcome back to the community.
Thank you so much.
Back to Parkland Theater. So do we have another? Or
those are the two. We have.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure so I knew what was going on. These are scenes we're hearing from Dead Man's Cell Phone, which is a play by Sarah Rule. It's the next Parkland Theater production. It opens on the 26th. And runs through November the 6th, and Tom Schnari is the director, and Aaron Clark, Ellen Fred were in that last scene, Ellen in the central role of Jean, who I'm going to guess, in the end, has a life more disturbing than any of everybody else.
Like any of, she's sort of the conduit for the audience to get involved with all these crazy characters, and she's the most affected by all
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah, that's how these things happen. Tom, this is by no means your first show. You teach at Parkland and so on. Is this typical for the sort of show that you like to put on?
Weirdly, it seems to be. If you look at the biography that I've got, we've got our biographies now online, and also the director's note that I have. This is like this sixth out of the ninth shows that I've directed that have dealt with death and the afterlife. And I'm really not sure why that's happened, but I do remember that when I actually submitted this, there were like five other shows that I submitted that were all about dying. So I seem to like to play with this. I don't know why.
Well, I did read the director's note, and I think we'll leave that alone for theater goers to check that out. But it is kind of interesting and gives some background. Maybe to a little aspect of Tom's obsession with death or things having to do with dying in funny and not so funny ways.
Yeah, I think part of it is being older and not being a teenager anymore and confronting mortality in various ways. And then thinking about who you lose and that sort of thing. And I think that's one of the things that's fascinating about this play is that it, in a very audience-friendly sort of way, talks about the sentiment that's behind that, but also shows you the comedy behind the idea of the absurdity of the importance that we place on our everyday occurrences, and shows you maybe you should chill out and just enjoy your life as you live it.
Well, yeah, in more ways than one, you find out at whatever age you happen to be, oh, I'm still alive. So.
Indeed.
What do I do with that?
Right. And when you have people that aren't, then suddenly you start thinking about where are they. And this play tries to give you an answer as to where they are and that they linger. And we have an entire ensemble. There's two productions that were done in New York. One was just with the six-person cast, which we've turned into a seven-person cast because we split a character. And then another with an ensemble. And the ensemble sort of represents those sort of anonymous people that you run into in the city all the time, but also maybe a few ghosts here and there.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Steadman's cell phone. You can see it at Parkland Theater. For more information, go to parkland.edu/theater, I think is the web address.
Indeed.
Or one way you can find it. And there's a show at which you set the ticket price, which is opening night next Wednesday. Pay what you can night, and then the regular price shows continue after that. Tom Schnari, Aaron Clark, Maren Brooker, and Ellen Fred, thanks for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Jumpstart the October Fun Drive here at FM 90.9 with a successful Power Hour, which will be tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. During a Power Hour, in case the concept is new to you, we use the Member Match Fund, which we've been accumulating, to match your pledge dollar for dollar, which means that your pledge will go twice as far during that Power Hour. And so together we can raise the money needed to help 90.9 FM bring you the music you love and shows like Live and Local, where we bring so much more even than music. Join us at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning and answer the Member Match Challenge. And we certainly do thank you in advance. We also say thanks for support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Stay tuned next for a preview of a concert presented by Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. It's called, I just misplaced what it's called, United in Song for All God's Children. We'll have it live in a matter of minutes here on Live and Local. So you could call that our scene change music here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, moving from a little bit of theater to a bit of song and harp music and piano music and a conversation about a show that is happening Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Urbana. It's at St. Matthew Lutheran Church, and it is a presentation of and benefit for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. It's called United in Song for All God's Children, and it features a number of adult and children's choir members and instrumentalists as well from St. Matthew Lutheran and from three other Lutheran churches in the Champaign-Urbana community. With me here on the show are Elizabeth Buckley, who is music director at St. Matthew's, and also the pastor at St. Matt's, who is Dr. Are you a doctor? Reverend Robert.
Reverend's close enough. Pastor Reverend. Bob is easiest.
Pastor Bob is how you were referred to in email. And I'll let you have the first word, Bob, if you don't mind, just talking a little bit about Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. What does the organization do? And then what is this event a benefit for?
Thank you, first of all, for having us on. It's a pleasure to be here. We have a benefit concert for foster care and adoption services that we do here in central Illinois. We have our offices. We have a large foster care and adoption service office here, and we're also starting a prison ministry over at the Corrections Center in Danville, called the Storybook Program. That is, we go in to an incarcerated parent, bring a book along, a recordable CD. They read the book to their children, say something encouraging or inspirational for their kid. We bring that CD and the book back to the kid at home, and they can hear their parents read them a good night story. It's a way to keep families together. You can hardly find a more divided circumstance than an incarcerated parent and a child. And we're able to do something about that. We're going to start a new project through this fundraiser. This is part of a statewide organization. We're a $120 million organization statewide. We serve the poorest of the poor. 46% of the 70,000 people that we served last year had household incomes of under $5,000. 61% had annual household incomes under $10,000. And we do everything from behavioral health services, foster care and adoption, prison ministry, older adults, affordable housing. It's a vast, vast network of social services. And it's surprisingly kind of a well-kept secret. Every 50th American, one in 50 Americans is served by Lutheran Services of America, which sounds crazy, and I wouldn't say it out loud if I didn't know it to be true. And so this is part of the effort. Here we are doing something locally, and the response has been incredible. People are very supportive of this concert, and I thank Elizabeth for her passion for this kind of work, and Sam, of course, is going to play for you, and Thea, all part of the concert on Sunday. So I could go on and on and on, Kevin, but I think I'll stop there.
We have a time limit, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did want to just say, I mean, I assume it's obvious that one in 50 people in the United States is not necessarily a Lutheran.
No,
so
not at all.
The fact that it's Lutheran Social Services is the instigators are Lutherans, but, you know,
we serve.
Many other people
there is no religious test for who we serve. It doesn't matter what religion or none. Age, race, orientation, none of that. There's no litmus test for the needy. And so
needy is the litmus test.
Needy is the litmus test. How can we serve? And this is an extension of the ministry of the Lutheran Church. You know, there are four churches involved in this from the Champaign area, Grace Lutheran, Good Shepherd, and St. Andrew's besides us. And we see this as an opportunity to love our neighbors. And it doesn't matter who our neighbor is.
And you're representing, in a sense, all three communities in Urbana, Champaign, and the University of Illinois campus in the case of St. Andrews. So, Liz Buckley, was this concert your brainchild, or was this sort of something that various people concocted together?
This is a concept I have for outreach and advocacy with music. I've done fundraisers for the Public Art League, for Facet, which goes to all the money raised for that went for the backpack program for children in our community. And this also came out of a concert we did last December. We were on your show for it. Thank you. And it was the Falm Himmelhawk concert that we did. And we had such a great turnout, I started brainstorming about the benefits that we could do for other causes. And I thought that LSSI is extremely in need at the moment because of budgetary cuts in the state. It needs additional help from outside sources. So I thought that this would be neat to bring our Lutheran churches together in our community and celebrate what we do really well, which is music. So on this concert, we have various artists from our four congregations. Chet Alwis will be conducting from Grace, one of his arrangements of Beautiful Savior. We have various musicians from all of our congregations also that will be represented on this concert. And I set a goal of $25,000. And today we learned that we are just over the $20,000 mark. So we have received tremendous response from the community. I think people know that there is a great deal of need out there, and every dollar that we raise will stay within the Champaign-Urbana community and in the county of Champaign. So all ticket sales, $15 per ticket, all of that money goes right into the programs that we're trying to sponsor. And then our underwriters for this concert have been extremely generous and have risen to the occasion.
So in this case, the underwriters aren't underwriting the cost of the event, because that's probably pretty minimal. They're underwriting,
essentially
contributing everything that they can to help support this.
Exactly. All the musicians on this concert will be doing this as volunteers, and we'll subsidize a few of the performers that are going to be on that, but that will come out of separate money. And all the money that people donate to this, if they come to the concert on Sunday at 3 p.m. at St. Matthew, will go to those programs. And just to reiterate what Pastor Bob said, we're very excited. We'll be starting this new storybook project in Danville with this money. And then I have found, by talking about this to people in the community, many people have been touched by the foster care services and adoption services here in Champaign-Urbana. They've adopted children through LSSI, or they have helped with foster care. And on this concert, we're going to have a woman named Miss Ladine Shelby, who has herself personally provided foster care for over 50 young men, and she's very much the whisperer of troubled youth. She has a special gift and has done an amazing amount of work for these young men and has turned their life around. So we believe in this project. We're thankful for all the artists that have agreed to play on this concert, and the response has been tremendous. So we hope that by being on your show today, we'll get more people to come to the concert. We've got about 100 tickets sold now, and we have capacity to seat about 225. So we'd hope to see more response, and invite you, even if you're not Lutheran, to come enjoy. And today we're honored to have two other artists, including myself, that will be performing selections from the concert.
Well, let's start with one of your younger ones. I know you've got a number of not only adult choirs and instrumentalists, but also some children involved. And this is a young woman that I met, well, actually have met twice. But now I'm meeting every Sunday, so to speak, because Thea Kamerling is now, as of this year, in the harpist in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. And I've actually forgotten, Thea, what grade are you in now?
I'm a freshman.
And at what school?
At Uni High.
And how's that going?
It's good.
So this is your first year at uni? Did you start as a subby?
My second year.
So your second year. Oh, so it's old hat for you to be working so hard.
I guess.
And is it true, everything they say over there, that you really do have to work extra hard academically, or is it just easy because you're smart?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Well, we hope so. And how long have you been playing the harp?
About 4 years.
I think I probably saw you for the first time maybe a year or two ago at your teacher's house, and you were much smaller, and but you were just as serious seeming then about this instrument. And when I heard you audition this year, I was really quite impressed. It's not every high school freshman that plays the harp as well as you do. What are you going to play for us right now?
It's a sonata by Desik.
Ladislav Dusek, I think. Did I get it right?
It
just says JL here, so I was trying to remember the memory banks. And this is the third movement rondo. Thank you. Thea Kamerling in music by Dussek from a sonata of his. And I, you know, I saw the name Dussek and I thought, well, I won't know this piece, but that sounded extremely familiar. And I don't know if it's because we play it a lot on this station or if it really is one of those pieces that gets out there a lot. Thea, beautiful job.
Thank you.
And that's almost the opening music that you'll hear Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Matthew Lutheran Church on South Philo Road in Urbana in a program called United in Song for All God's Children. It's a benefit for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois and also features choirs and instrumentalists from St. Andrew's, Good Shepherd, and Grace Lutheran Churches, all of them in the Champaign-Urbana community. And I say almost the opening music because there's also music that will feature pianist Jeremy House and organist Royce Hubert among the other many other performers who are involved in the program. There will also be some opening remarks and also a guest speaker towards the end of the program as along with the music. And among the illustrious performers is Elizabeth Buckley, who is the director of music at St. Matthew Lutheran Church and a fine vocalist I've worked with many times, known Liz for years. And you're going to be playing with our guest pianist for today also, who's got not only this piece but some other things to do on the program, named Sam Ginger, who has been on this show as well before, playing quite a variety of music. You want to talk to us a little bit about the arranger of this tune, because she's written some really gorgeous stuff.
Yes, I'll be singing Margaret Bonds' arrangement of He's Got the Whole World in His Hand. And she was a Chicago native and very active in the music community up there. She started a music program for children, and she also did amazing arrangements for spirituals for full orchestra. And to note that this was a woman who was doing this kind of work in the 50s and 60s, and her arrangements are beautiful. And we're going to be doing, as I said earlier, her arrangement of He's Got the Whole World in His Hand.
Liz Buckley here on Live and Local, and as she negotiates the wires here in our studio, let me mention that at 7 o'clock tonight in the evening concert on FM 90.9, we'll have some music by Telemann and Tchaikovsky from the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. In the second hour, we continue the Keeping Score series, 13 days that changed music forever, and tonight the program is called The Opening of the Exposition Universelle in Paris, 1889. It's chamber music from Santa Fe and the Keeping Score series tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 evening concert. Here's Elizabeth Buckley with Sam Ginger on Live and Local.
He's got the whole
He's got everybody.
Elizabeth Buckley with Sam Ginger. He's got the whole world in his hand from Margaret Bond's arrangement. That's one of the pieces that you can hear on the benefit concert for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's called United in Song for All God's Children at St. Matthew Lutheran Church on South Philo Road in Urbana. It starts at 3 o'clock. And we'll have Sam take us out in just a little bit with some of the other quite contrasting music that is on that program. But first, I need to say that our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting of Champaign, Common Ground Food Co-op of Urbana, Prairie Boatworks Gallery of Champaign, and Lowell Heap Farm of Dewey. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much for your support. We also say thanks to Corkscrew Wine Emporium at 203 North Vine, Urbana, who support us, and they offer wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. Here are some of the other events you can see and hear live in our listening area today and tomorrow. It's the musical Wicked at the Peoria Civic Center Theater tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow, and then they go for quite a while yet. You can check their website for complete times. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana presents the play called God of Carnage, 8 o'clock tonight, and that closes on Saturday, again at 8 o'clock, all those performances. The Peoria Symphony Orchestra, no, this show actually is happening as we speak, so never mind about that one. It's the National Acrobats performing at the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow also at 7 o'clock. The Woody Woodward Organ Trio plays at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5, followed by Drew Ninmer and Drew Hansen at 8 o'clock tonight. And then it's Aladdin Jr., the Park District, Champaign Park District production. It's being put on at the Virginia Theater in Champaign tonight at 7, and that runs through Saturday as well. It's a program called October, featuring the Eastern Illinois University Concert Band at the Dvorak Concert Hall in Charleston tomorrow evening at 7:30. The musical cabaret is being put on by the University of Illinois Theater Department tomorrow evening at 7:30. And not sure if that continues through the weekend or not. And it's Exit the Body, presented by Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield, 6 o'clock Thursday through Saturday, and Sunday brunch at 1:30 in the afternoon. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. I want to say thanks to Reverend Robert Rasmus of St. Matthew Lutheran Church, first for hosting this concert and for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Hope you raise many more tens of thousands for Lutheran Social Services. And Liz Buckley for organizing the event and letting me know about it. Otherwise,
well,
I wouldn't
have. Thanks for having us on. And we hope to do even more concerts. I've got a great event coming up around Valentine's Day in February for CASA and Crisis Nursery with other women artists in our community. And we're looking to do even more benefit concerts. And I know that Prairie Ensemble has done benefit concerts also to great effect in our community. I think it's a great way to perform outreach and advocacy for the causes that we feel strongly for and to raise money for our own organizations in this community, which we have many great organizations.
Yeah, and money's harder and harder to come by, so the generosity of everybody who gives is greatly appreciated.
Yes, we thank this community greatly for its support of this concert.
And thanks to Thea Kamerling, who played the harp for us and will be on the program on Sunday afternoon, and Sam Ginger for joining Liz and for taking us out with, what have you got, Sam?
I'm going to play a novelty rag piece by composer Edward Zez Confrey. His nickname is Zez, and he's actually from Peru, Illinois. And this is a novelty rag piece entitled Sport Model Encore from the 1930s.
Sport Model?
Sport Model Encore, a very little known rag, novelty rag.
I was going to say, I haven't heard this one, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
It's live and local on FM 90.9. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.